what I said last year, last year. So if I'm repetitive, go with it. You have your last year's notes?
I certainly do.
This is where I started calling. First of all, the Hagman Yeah. Okay, that part I remember. I remember saying that part, yeah. Did I say the B'tochen part?
The what?
What about the B'tochen?
Oh, give me a minute. I even have a Vart from Red Nichol Torsky here. Look at you.
Parsons with Gates?
Yeah.
What is that?
So Chayam B'Yabasha.
Okay, that I remember saying, yeah. Which one is this one?
Wait, I
didn't
declare
here. What is that? Okay, then I remember saying. Okay, so I didn't tell you the talking part. Okay. I'm this first pasuk. Vayimi kesh nasayim yomim. It happens at the end of 2 years. Uparei choylem. This whole thing with Pahari's dream. So the Medrash says, why is it that and Rashi brings us to the end of last week's parasha in this Medrash. Last Rashi and last week's parasha. Why is it that it took 2 years? Because Yosef said, V'zachartani v'hizkartani, he asked the Sarah Mashma twice to mention his situation to Pare. This is, he was punished that he had to be he had to remain in prison for another 2 years. So the Medrash says, Rashi brings this also, a pasuk in Tehillim, Asher Yagever Hashem Hashem Ivtachoi, fortunate is the person who places Hashem as his trust. Zu Yosef, says the Medrash, this is Yosef. Fortunate is the person who places Hashem his places Hashem as his trust, this is Yosef. V'leifonol Rehovim Mesotei Chozov, and if he doesn't turn to nothingness, says the matter is Yosef. This is also Yosef who trusted in the Zohar Mashmi. So first of all, the matter contradicts itself. It starts out saying, "Fortunate is the person who places Hashem's trust." This is Yosef. So Yosef is the person who does trust Hashem. Then the matter goes on to say, "V'lo yifonol rehovim mesotei chozov." He does not turn to nothingness and falsehood. This is Yosef who turned to the Sarah Mashmi. So, is Yosef the one who does trust, or is Yosef the one who doesn't trust? Second of all, what was wrong with Yosef trusting in, or at least asking the Sarah Mashmi to mention him to Barai? A person is obligated to do some mishtadlus. We can't just sit back and trust in Hashem and expect that Hashem is going to do everything for us. The Gemara learns from the pasuk of Berachecha, Hashem alekecha b'chol ma'aseh yadecha, Hashem will bless you in all of your handiwork, is that there has to be some handiwork for Hashem to bless you. So what was wrong with Yosef mentioning to the Sarah Mashkev to do that little bit of ishtadlus, to ask the Sarah Mashkev to mention him to Paroi, to get him out of jail? Today is Hanukkah, and there is a famous kasha that is repeated in the name of the Bis Yosef. Kasha was asked before the Bis Yosef as well, but it's known as the Bis Yosef's kasha. Why is it that Hanukkah is an 8-day yontif? The miracle of the oil was really only for 7 days because there was enough oil to burn for 8 days. Many answers have been given to this teretz, and I'd like to suggest yet another one. The the Taz answers on this kasha that the Gemara learns from the story of the Elisha and the Isha Shunamis in Nevi'im, I believe in Malachim. There is a whole story with of a woman that did not have enough money to pay off her debts, and the her creditors wanted to take away her sons, her children, as collateral. So she came screaming to the Navi, to Elisha. And Elisha said to her, "Ma yeshlich my boys, what do you have in your house?" So she said, "Also shaman, all I have is a flask of oil." So Elisha told her, "Take all of the vessels you have. And you should go borrow vessels from neighbors too. And start pouring. Start pouring from that vessel of oil into these empty vessels." And this is what the lady, this is a woman, did. She took all of the vessels and she kept on pouring and pouring and pouring, and and vessel after vessel filled up with oil. Until she had filled up all the vessels that she had. And then it stopped pouring. And she was able to sell this oil and pay back all of her creditors. Price of oil must have been more than $40 a gallon. $40 a barrel. Anyway, so the Chazal learned from here, from this story, that Elisha had to ask her before he even began. He asked her, "Ma yeshlich b'bois? What do you have in the house?" As I learned from there, that a bracha can't take an effect on emptiness, on nothing. There has to be something for what the bracha to be chal on. The bracha has to have an effect on something. But if there's nothing, the bracha can't take an effect. Says the Taz, if all the oil would have burnt out that first night, then it wouldn't have been possible for any miracle to occur on the other seven nights. Had the oil of Hanukkah burnt out, totally burnt out on the first night, then it wouldn't have been possible for the miracle to take place the other seven nights, because a miracle can only take an effect on something that exists. It has to be something there. As we see in the story of the Isha Shunamis. So it has to be that there was something left over the first night. Even though there was exactly enough for one night, nevertheless, there had to, and the oil burnt the first night, nevertheless, there still was a miracle the first night also, because not all the oil burnt out, in order for there to have to be a miracle the rest of the nights. That is the answer of the Taz. So that's why there's a Yanta for 8 days. So the Sefer Afike Yosef asks Akasha on this Taz. He says, all that Chazal are proving from that story is that a tzaddik cannot perform a miracle on something that's empty. Elisha is a Navi, a tzaddik. The koyach, the power of a tzaddik, is only to intensify something that already exists. In his words, a tzaddik can make a yesh miyesh. He can make something out of something. A tzaddik does not have the ability to create yesh me'ayin, to make something out of nothing. But the Rabbeinu Shleilam, when Hashem performs a miracle, there you don't need anything. Hashem created the world out of nothing, constantly creates the world out of nothing. So, Hanukkah was a miracle that happened didn't go through the channel of a tzaddik. It was totally by the hand of Hashem. So why couldn't there be a miracle for the oil to burn? Miracle could have happened out of, even though all the oil burnt out the first night. There still could have been a bracha on absolutely nothing, since the miracle happened through the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself. So there's a sefer, Gan Yosef. So he according to these words of the Afika Yosef, he explains the pasuk, the last week's parsha. Pasuk says, "Ein sar beis hasoy haroy es kol mu'uma biyodoy v'asher Hashem itoy v'asher hu ois Hashem atzliach." This is in Kapitel Lamed Tes, pasuk Chav Gimel. It says the prison warden did not see anything in Yosef's hand, inasmuch as Hashem was with him. And whatever he did, Hashem made successful. Meaning that Yosef in prison was, there were miracles happening there, says the Gan Yosef, without there being anything for the miracle to take effect on. The warden of the prison warden didn't see anything in Yosef's hand, and nevertheless there was blessing occurring. What's going on here? So the pasuk answers, "Ba'asher Hashem itoy," because inasmuch as Hashem was with him, and Hashem performs miracles, even when there's nothing for the miracle to take effect on. But we still have to understand, because according to this, the Yosef's kasha is still difficult. We don't understand why there had to be anything left over the first day, since the miracle happened to Russia. So we have to understand that there are two types of bitachon, two types of trust. Say a person is in a eis tzara, person is in a trouble, financial trouble, trouble with children, shalom bayis, whatever it might be. Health problem, but any tzara, rachmana litzlan, a person can have. So, a person can have bitachon in Hashem. I'll trust in Hashem that Hashem will help me get out of this trouble. It's a wonderful bitachon to have. So I trust in Hashem. Hashem's going to get me out of this. Now, although this bitachon is very special, and nevertheless, this type of bitachon requires a person to do whatever is necessary to get himself out of the trouble. The person has to do his ishtadlus or her ishtadlus to be able to get themselves out of the trouble. And trust in Hashem that I'm doing whatever I can do, and Hashem will definitely do the rest. It's a tremendous level. Halavai that we should be on this level of the Torah. But it's not the top of the ladder. There's a greater level of the Torah. And that is that I trust if Hashem placed me in this trouble, or what seems for me, or what seems to be a trouble, that this is what is good for me. And had it not been good for me, Hashem would have placed me here. Kolma da Ovid Rachmana Letav Ovid. Whatever Hashem does is for good. Not the first betachin was, I'm in a trouble. This is terrible. I trust in Hashem, he's gonna get me out of this. The level above that is, I'm in this trouble, what seems to be a trouble, but whatever Hashem does is for the good. And Hashem obviously knows what's good for me, and that's why he placed me in this situation. And if this is where Hashem wants me to be, then I'm happy to be here. That's totally placing oneself in the hands of Hashem. Now, hishtadlus has no place in this type of bitachon because I'm not trying to get out of it. In the first type of bitachon, where I'm trusting in Hashem, Hashem is going to get me out of it. Right? So you have to do it. If you really trust and you believe you have to get out of it, well, then you have to do whatever is in your hands to get out of it too. You have to do your hishtadlus, and Hashem takes over from there. But if you don't necessarily believe that you have to get out of it, quite the contrary, you believe that Hashem put me in this, this is good for me, and when it comes time for me not to be in this situation, Hashem will take me out of the situation, because he'll, as he sees fit. But I'm not going to do anything to get out of this, because if Hashem placed me here, this is where I'm supposed to be. Tremendous level of bitachon. It's tremendous. There's actually a story I've mentioned, I've told Yehuda in the past. There were two Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov that were once traveling to the Baal Shem Tov. And the weather was terrible, and the horses kept getting stuck, and the horses got stuck. And it was getting closer and closer to Shabbos. And one of the Talmidim took a tillum in his hand and started davening and crying and beseeching Hashem to help him out of this trouble. And the other Talmid was sitting and learning, minding his own business. I was playing it cool, as if nothing was happening. Shabbos is getting closer and closer. Finally, this first Talmud says to the second one, would you close that Gemara already and take your tillum into your hand and start down it? Look where we're holding it. It's getting late. So he turns to him and says, well, obviously, if this is where we are, this is where Hashem wants us to be. So, you know, stop getting all over emotional about this. Finally, they end up in by the Baal Shem Tov for Shabbos, just in time. So as they walk into the Baal Shem Tov says to Talmud number two, he says to him, could you imagine, had you been Mordechai HaTzadik? Let's say you would have been Mordechai HaTzadik. Right? And Haman gives out this great decree against all of Klal Yisrael, and you would have just kept on learning, saying that if that's what Hashem wants, that's fine. Right? Instead of gathering together all of Klal Yisrael starting to daven, that's... Nevertheless, that second level is definitely a higher level than the first. Being able to totally trust in Hashem and call my daughter up one of the top of it, there's no questions. It's a greater level. Yosef HaTzadik was on that level. And this is what we see in that pasuk we just spoke about. Ein Sarah Beis HaSoi Royas Kol Mu'u V'Yodai. When it says that the prison warden saw nothing in Yosef's hand, meaning he didn't see Yosef doing any ishtavos to bring about all of the success that he was having. He just saw this blessing coming forth from the Rabbi Nishleilo. Ba'asher Hashem Itay, because whatever Yosef, whatever situation Yosef was, he knew Hashem was with him. Hashem put me here, Hashem wants me to be here. That was Yosef's level. There was no ishtadlus on his part. You don't need, the bracha doesn't need anything to take effect on. Usually, right now we understand a little bit more what was going on by Elisha. There had to be, this woman started screaming and yelling. You know, they're coming to take away my children. Right? She definitely wasn't on this level of saying, that's what Hashem wants, okay, that's fine. So Elisha said, okay, you got to do ishtadlus. There has to be something, you have to do something if you want to be able to get out of the situation. Yosef was on the higher level. In Sarah, based on Sarah, is called one of the other. He didn't do anything. And therefore, it's a taina on Yosef. There's a complaint on Yosef when he did mention to the Sarah Mashke. Yosef. Ashrei ha-gever ha-shesam Hashem b'vtachoy. Fortunate is the person that places Hashem his trust. Zu Yosef. This is Yosef. You're the person. You're with the ultimate level of b'tachoy. Trusting in Hashem that whatever he does is for the good. You're not even looking to get out of any type of situation. And you went ahead and you asked the Sarah Mashke to get you out of it? You've fallen from your level of bitocha. You went and you went ahead and did ishtalos. By the Nes of Chanukah, we're not sure if there was oil left after the first night, and therefore there was a miracle on the first night because some oil was left over, and the miracle was chal and that little bit of oil that was left, or whether the oil burnt out the first night, and Hashem performed the miracle. Hashem performed the miracle that new oil was created out of nothing. Yesh me'ayin. There's a reason to celebrate this first day regardless. Because if Klal Yisrael at that time, if the Chashmei Noyim were on a level of bitochen that they felt that they needed to do ishtadlus, and that seems to be what level they were on. Because they did take arms into their hands to do some type of ishtadlus to fight the Greeks. They didn't totally rely on Hashem to take care of them. That's why Kedushas Levi says, this is why we don't read the Megillah. The Megillah on Hanukkah, only a Megillah on Purim. Because on Purim, the miracle happened all on its own. Klal Yisrael, yes, Klal Yisrael daven, but they didn't do any ishtadlus. They didn't do any tactics on their own to be able to overthrow Haman or Ahasuerus. Hashem took care of them. And when we read, there's this Levi establishes that when we read any type of Megillah, or we tell over a story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, what we're doing is we are drawing down those types of miracles again. So the Nes of Megillah's Esther, where we relied on Hashem, and Hashem took care of us. That's the type of miracle we want to bring. That we want to bring. We want to draw from. But the type of miracle that took place on Hanukkah, where we actually took arms into our hands, and it was only through our ishtadlus that Hashem came through for us. We're not going to read that Megillah. It's not the type of miracle we want to draw from. That's a lower level of bitachon. So we can say that we know that Hashem conducts Himself towards us, the way we conduct ourselves towards Him. Since we were on a level then that we did ishtadlus, then we can assume that the bracha only took effect on something that was actually there already. That is the whole definition of doing a shtadlus, is that the bracha should have to be chalan. So that's the case. Then the oil definitely didn't burn out the first night all the way. So therefore, there was a miracle in the first night as well, that it burnt the entire night. And nevertheless, there was some oil left over for the rest of the night. So that is where the Taz. That is why the Taz understood that there was definitely oil left over on the first night, since Klal Yisrael at that time were on a lower level of bitach. We definitely have to strive for bitachon, and one cannot totally rely on Hashem if one does not have that type of bitachon. If one has, truly believes whatever Hashem does is for the good, then they don't have to do any shtadlus. They don't have to do any tactics to get themselves out of any type of situation. They truly believe that where they are is where Hashem wants them to be, then they could totally trust in Hashem that, and not take any action. But if one is still on the level of I don't believe I should be here. This is a situation I shouldn't be in. I want to get out of this situation. I trust that Hashem will get me out of this situation. Then that is where Hishtadlus comes to play. Okay. Share with you, and I believe this is pshat. No drush, no. This is simple pshat. And first, we'll ask, why is it that by Al HaNisim on Chanukah we do not mention at all the miracle of the Pach Shemet? We don't mention at all the miracle that the oil burned. The oil, there was only enough oil for one night, that it burned for 8 nights. That seems to be the main miracle of Chanukah. No mention of it whatsoever in Al HaNisim. All we mention is about the war, and that Hashem gave over many into the hands of few. So why is it? Why don't we mention that miracle? Gemara says that Chazal established the Yantav of Chanukah lohidois ulahalel, to thank and to praise. Lohidois means that, now the way we bring this into reality is we say Al HaNisim, by the bracha of Moedim. Moedim is lohidois, it's to thank. So we say Al HaNisim, and we say Halel. That's lahal, to praise Hashem, we say halal on Chanukah. Besides that, they established the light of Menorah. But Chanukah was established lahidus lahal, to thank and to praise. Now, what's the difference between thanking and praising? Thanking is when somebody does you a favor. Thank them. Doing you a favor. If someone walks in with a beautiful dress, you don't say thank you for wearing a beautiful dress. It doesn't make any sense. You praise them for wearing that's a beautiful dress. Right? Their thanks doesn't come into the picture. It's only praising. I guess you could praise a person for doing a favor, but you can't thank a person for their talents or in any case where the favor wasn't directed towards you, thank you doesn't really come into consideration. at the miracle of the war, Hashem came through for us. Our lives were in danger, and Hashem helped us win the war. We have to thank Hashem for that. When Hashem provides oil for His menorah, He's not doing us a favor. It's His menorah. Right? We don't light the menorah for us. Right? Hashem commanded us to light the menorah. We light the menorah because Hashem commanded us to do so. We can't say, thank you, Hashem, for providing oil for the menorah. That wasn't a favor for us. Hashem provided oil so that we should be able to light His menorah. Lahoidois, which takes place during Moedim, which is the Al Hanisim, is a bracha of thanks. The miracle of the menorah has no place. The miracle of the menorah has no place in Moedim. We're not thanking Hashem for that. We can praise Hashem for that. We say halal for that. We don't thank Hashem for the Nes of the Pachshim. We commemorate it. We praise Him. But thank you doesn't come into the picture. I think that's how much Pashim Shah. The Gemara says that that Yavan, that Malchus Yavan, forced Klal Yisrael to write Kizvu Lachem Al Keren Hashor, write on the horn of an ox, She'en Lachem Chelek V'Likai Yisrael, that you have no part in the God of Israel. So of course we deal with this Keren Hashor, horn of an ox. What is the significance of the horn of the ox? They hadn't written it on the horn of the ox. So, those that say that the horn of the ox was what they used as a baby bottle back then. So they wanted the children to grow up with this, with the chinuch that there is no God in Israel. So that's why they had him write on the horn of an ox. My great-great-grandfather, Ramatul and his disciple, says a different pshat. The Gemara Bava Kama, you learn Bava Kama, right? Gemara Bava Kama lists three different types of damages an ox can do. There's shein, regel, and keren. Right? Regel means, literally means a foot. Right? Means when the ox steps on things. It goes into someone else's property and just steps on things and breaks kalim or smushes fruits and vegetables. It causes damage. Not that the ox wants to do damage or that it has any pleasure of doing the damage. It's just walking innocently and creating havoc. That's regular. Another that type of damage is shein, which is when the ox eats. It goes into someone else's property and starts eating fruits and vegetables that are in the field. This is a type of damage also. The ox's intent is not to damage. It just is to derive pleasure. And then finally, is the kerem, which is when the ox gores with its horns. There, it's not doing it out of pleasure. Rather, it's doing it because it wants the damage. Those are three types of damage that are listed in the Gemara above, in the Mishnah above, Kamen, Keren, Shor, and Regel. And they each have their own halachas. So Rav Matula says that these three types of damage apply to people as well. But we're talking about damage, spiritual damage. There are some averas that we do just because, just by, we just step all over them. Not because we want to do damage. Not because we take pleasure in it. It's just the ordinary way people behave, and they don't realize that they're doing averas, such as Lashon Hara, such as Bittul Torah. The list is enormous. As the, Rashi says at the beginning of Parshas Ekev, right? In Vayeva Ekev Tishmon, Elu Averis, these are Averis, Adam Dosh Ba'akev, that a person steps on with his heels. Averis that people just step on, they don't realize they're doing Averis. That is the regal by a person. Then there's Averis that are fall under the shame category. Right? There are Averis that we do because we derive pleasure. Eating forbidden foods, forbidden relations, so on and so forth. Then there's the apikaris. Right? Derives no pleasure. He knows that there is a God and wants to anger him. Deliberately, a person that deliberately does opposite of what Hashem wants to do. It says, Yavan didn't suffice with the fact that Bnei Yisrael at that time did the regal type of averis that they were, you know, the averis that people stomp on without realizing. It didn't even suffice that Bnei Yisrael were involved in the shame type of averis, that they were doing averis out of just to derive pleasure. They wanted them to do to rebel against the revenge. Kizu lechem al keren asher. I want you to write in a way of keren asher, the way an ox scores with its horns. That's the way I want you to write she'en lechem chelik v'lekai Israel, that there is no God in Israel. I believe that the three averis, Chazal tell us that the three averis that Yavan wanted to nullify were Shabbos, Chodesh, and Mila. Shmir of Shabbos, they didn't want to allow us to sanctify the new moon, to make Rosh Chodesh based on the new moon, and Mila. Trying to remember how that I put these three things in. But I think that these three mitzvahs represent these three types of these three different yetzaharas. The yetzahara of regel, the yetzahara of shame, and the yetzahara of keren. I mean, these three mitzvahs that we have are the three mitzvahs that counter those three yetzaharas. The yetzahara of rego, right, is the yetzahara that that just allows us to do things naturally, without thinking of that we might not be doing something right. Being Mekadosh L'Chodesh, is the power that Hashem gave into our hands, that we are the ones that establish when is Rosh Chodesh. We are the ones, we are actually in charge of nature, and nature is not in charge of us. That is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. You establish when is Rosh Chodesh, you establish when is Yom Kippur, you establish when is Yom Tov. Klal Yisrael is in charge of nature. Klal Yisrael, and Rebbeinu Shlomo's message to us is, don't give me this natural business. That this is just the way that nature is, and we're just going with the flow. It doesn't work. Klal Yisrael is in charge of nature. Chodesh, the mitzvah of Chodesh, would overpower the regal, and Yoman couldn't tolerate that. The Yetzahara of Shein, which is the Yetzahara of pleasure, we have to count to that, we have the mitzvah of Mila. The Rambam says that the reason for mitzvah of Mila is to weaken our Titus. Yoan wanted to rid us of that as well. And finally, the mitzvah of Shabbos, which is testimony that we believe that Hashem created heaven and earth, and continues to control creation, is the mitzvah of Shabbos that counters the Yetzirah of Keren, the Yetzirah of goring and rebelling against the Rabbeinu Shleilam Chas V'Sholom, saying in She'en Lechem Chedek with the Kai Yisrael, Yohan wanted to do away with these three mitzvahs. So in order not that we shouldn't be able to counter these three Yetzaras. So Chanukah is a time for us to strengthen ourselves in all of these three areas, to know that we are actually in charge of our nature. Our nature is not to overcome us. That we have to be in charge of our titus. And finally, to strengthen our emunah. May we be zoicha that the light of Chanukah should shine into our neshamas, and we should be zoicha to the Or Chodesh Al Tzion Torah B'Yis Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Meir B'Meir Amen.